life. You're not really interested in her. You just want to get all of us off your back. I grit my teeth, partially because I hate that he knows me so well, but mostly because that too bubbly, too loud, too pushy, and too fucking adorable chatterbox is not my type, and yet here I am counting down the damn hours until I see her again, and that pisses me off. You don't know shit, so keep it in your pants. I pull into my driveway and cut the engine. I appreciate you helping her out, but do me a favor, send me the bill. She said she's got money, but she also thought she could start a business without ample preparation. If you're not into her, then this one's on me. I feel a sliver of guilt at Chuck eating his fees when, despite my loss of perspective, this whole thing is a farce. You don't have to do that. For the first woman you've let into your life in a decade? No worries, bro. I've got you covered. But I have to run. Have a good night. I pocket my phone and head inside. Molly greets me at the door, going paws up on my chest. How's it going, Moll? I love her up. Did you have fun with Destiny today? She barks and follows me through the great room, tail wagging, nosing my hand for more pets, which I'm happy to give her. My gaze catches on two boxes on the dining room table, a white box with little paw prints drawn on it, and a pink bow on top, and a pink box from Sweetie Pie Bakery in Sweetwater with a blue bow on top. What has she done? I ask Molly, who follows me into the dining room. I find a thank you card perched between the boxes and read Destiny's loopy cursive inside. Dear Fletch, thank you for everything you're doing to help me with Get the S. The goodies in the white box are for Molly. I baked them myself, and don't worry, I checked the allergy list on file at Perfect Paws first. The goodies in the pink box are for you. Have a good night, and thanks again for all your help and for letting me hang out with Molly. Destiny. The I in her name is dotted with a heart. I open the box from Sweetie Pies, and my mouth waters at the sight of two of my favorite pastries, Lover Boys, which are a cross between an eclair and a cupcake, with blue icing on top and thick custard inside. Molly rubs against my leg. You know what's in your box, don't you? I open the other box and find several bone-shaped dog treats that smell like peanut butter. Molly barks. Don't get used to this. She's not a permanent fixture in our lives. I hold out a treat, and she snatches it. I let her out the back door and can't resist eating one of the Lover Boys. I lick the icing from my fingers and pull out my phone to text Destiny. Fletch. Thank you for the treats. That was thoughtful and unnecessary. How did you know I liked Lover Boys? Destiny. Your almost fiancé told me, remember? They were on the picnic that Molly trampled, and when she said she heard you tell someone that Sweetie Pie was your favorite bakery, you didn't deny it, so I figured she was right. I wonder how she paid such close attention to that minutia when all hell was breaking loose. Fletch. If you keep this up, I won't be able to fit into my basketball shorts. Destiny.
I've seen your abs. I think you can handle a few treats.
That gives me pause. Fletch. Were you checking me out, Sunshine? Destiny.
Does a bird have wings?
Maybe I didn't imagine that moment at the cafe after all. Destiny.
There were four shirtless men standing right in front of me. What did you expect me to do, look away? It's kind of ridiculous how ripped you all are. I mean, what does it take to look like that? Do you guys run 50 miles each week, starve yourselves, do 100 sit-ups every day? I'm tired and hungry just thinking about it.
She has me laughing again, but it doesn't last because I didn't miss the part about her checking out all of us. Molly saunters back inside. That's a good thing, right, Moll? It'll help me keep things in perspective when we get together tomorrow night. Fletch. I don't run quite that much. I guess abs aren't on your checklist. Destiny.
There are more important body parts to consider.
I should not be thumbing out my next message, but I can't help myself. Fletch. Does Little Miss Sunshine have a dirty mind? Destiny.
A lady never tells. Now get your mind out of the gutter and go enjoy your creamy treat.
Destiny. Flushed face, smiley emoji. Destiny.
Excuse me while I pull my mind out of the gutter.
Destiny. Smiley face emoji. I laugh and look down at my furry beast. Our new friend is a little nutty, but she sure makes me laugh. Chapter 9. Fletch. Destiny sent me a half dozen pictures from her second walk with Molly on Tuesday afternoon. I was surprised at how much they brightened my day. I'm looking forward to seeing her tonight to help her with the computer, but I got held up helping a student after work and head home a little late to let Molly out. There's a note on the table again in that loopy cursive. I read it as I open the back door and Molly bounds outside.
Hi, I hope you had an amazing day at work. Please bring Molly tonight. I don't want her to miss out on her daddy time, and Clementine misses her.
I shake my head. No way am I bringing my beast to terrorize your cat.
Stop shaking your head. Molly waits all day to see you, and I bet you miss her as much as she misses you.
How can she possibly know that?
I don't care if they race around the house. You saw how close they ended up last time. They're already friends at heart, just like us.
She signed it with a heart rather than her name, and for some reason, that silly little heart made me happy. I look up as Molly comes in the back door, tail wagging, as if she knows she got an invitation.
I guess you're coming with me.
I crouch in front of her, scratching behind her ears. No chasing the cat this time, okay? She licks my face, and I imagine she's thinking, yeah, right, and snickering because my dog is just as smitten with our vivacious new friend as I am. My phone vibrates with a text. Chuck.
Your girl is a class act.
She brought me a basket of cookies she baked to thank me for my help. When she gets tired of you, send her my way. She's not my girl. There's no reason for jealousy to be clawing up my spine, but fuck if it isn't. I pocket my phone without replying, trying to break free of that uncomfortable feeling and head into the kitchen to feed Molly. I drop the note from Destiny in the junk drawer with the one she left yesterday. After I feed Molly, there's just enough time to get to Destiny's. I snag the second lover boy Destiny left for me yesterday and polish it off on the way over in lieu of dinner. I barely finish knocking on the door before it flies open and Destiny, adorable in a purple scoop neck t-shirt and cutoffs, exclaims,
I'm so glad you brought Molly,
as my monster bolts past her.
I just got off the phone with Arjun. I'm meeting with him next Thursday at 7.
She launches forward, throwing her arms around me. Destiny's excitement is contagious, and laughter tumbles out. Stifling the urge to go after my dog, I return Destiny's embrace, the strawberry scent of her shampoo infiltrating my senses. I hold her a moment longer than I probably should, enjoying the feel of her in my arms. Congratulations, sunshine, that's awesome. I set her on her feet, and she takes my hand, dragging me inside, talking a mile a minute.
I have so much to tell you.
Looking past her, I see Molly and Clementine standing on separate couches, staring each other down. Molly's tail is wagging. She's ready to play, but Clementine looks wary. I nod in their direction. I think I should get Molly. Destiny waves her hand dismissively.
Don't worry about her. They're fine.
She reaches up and touches my cheek, drawing my attention back to that winning smile.
I got another email asking for prices, and they want to set up a meeting, but I put them off.
Why did you delay meeting them?
I don't want to meet with anyone until I do my due diligence and check out their socials. See? You should be proud of me. You taught me well. I even asked Arjun all the pre-screening questions we came up with.
I am proud of you, I say honestly, knowing how hard she's working and how much this means to her. It dawns on me that without family or many friends in the area, she probably doesn't hear things like that very often. Your hard work is paying off, and it shows. You should be proud of yourself, too.
I am. I really want Arjun to sign on as a client, and I'm stupidly nervous about meeting with him. I've never been unsure of myself like this before, and I don't like it one bit. That whole fiasco with Cecilia has me second-guessing myself.
The faltering confidence sounds wrong coming from such a vibrant woman, and I can't help but think I might have something to do with it. I wasn't exactly gentle with my initial criticism. That incident with Cecilia was a fluke. You have nothing to worry about. You're going to do great.
But would it help if I went with you for moral support? Her eyes widen.
Yes, will you, please? I know I'm already taking up oodles of your time, but I'd be so grateful if you would come with me. That way, if I forget to ask something, you can bring it up.
Okay, I'll be there. Where are you meeting him? As I say it, Clementine prances across the back of the couch that Molly is standing on, and Molly shoves her nose in the cat's belly. Clementine gives her the equivalent of a deadpan stare and sits on the back of the couch, holding his ground.
I told you they'd be fine, she says. We're meeting at La Love. If it's a nice evening, I'm going to walk over and get there 15 minutes early. The walk will help me calm down. Do you want to meet at my place at 6:30 and walk over with me?
Sure, that sounds good.
Thank you.
Come on. She takes my hand again, pulling me through the living room, which I now notice is not as much of a mess as it was the last time I was here, but there are notebooks and magazines strewn about. The blanket from her bedroom is piled on an armchair, and there are several framed photographs on the walls. How did I miss them before? I wonder about that blanket as she leads me past the dining room table, which is set for two, and into the kitchen. A savory scent hangs in the air. As she heads for a cabinet, I notice two bottles of wine on the counter, along with dirty pots, pans, and other cooking accoutrement. My gut twists. Do you have dinner plans, Sunshine? We can do this another time.
No, silly. I'm starved, and I figured you might be hungry after working all day, so I whipped up some fried chicken and mashed potatoes and my daddy's famous southern fried corn.
She turns around with a wine glass in each hand and wrinkles her nose.
Shoot. You've got those abs to worry about. I forgot about that, which is weird, because they have been on my mind a lot lately. I probably should have baked the chicken, right?
I half laugh, half scoff. No. I eat fried chicken, and I'm not obsessed with my abs. I'm a runner, that's all. I hear Molly scamper upstairs and assume she's gone after Clementine.
Hey, no judgment here. You and your brothers make for nice eye candy.
Never in my life have I been so annoyed by my brothers when they weren't even in the room. She must see something in my expression because she tilts her head and says,
What?
I'm just not used to people saying whatever pops into their heads.
I've always been this way. My mama taught me to always say what I feel. Heck, my heart gets tangled up with people and things and moments all the time. If I tried to hide it, I'd probably burst.
She holds up the wine glasses.
Red or white?
White, and thank you for thinking of me. For dinner, I mean. Not for thinking about my abs.
I should be thanking you for that view.
She giggles.
Why don't you take these glasses and grab that bottle of wine and put them on the table while I get some water for Molly and take dinner out of the oven?
A few minutes later, we're sitting at the dining room table. I don't hear Molly chasing Clementine.
I told you, they're friends at heart. They're probably up there snuggling.
Holding on to her positivity and hoping she's right, I look at our plates and at the fresh basket of warm biscuits in front of us. I'm floored that with everything else she has going on, she took the time to cook, much less made enough for me. Other than holidays with my family, I can't remember the last time anyone cooked for me. Thank you. This looks delicious.
I love cooking. It centers me.
Well, it smells incredible. I pick up the bottle of wine and begin filling her glass.
That's enough,
she says when it's half full.
I have to keep my wits about me so we can work.
She picks up her glass.
To new friends.
To new friends. We clink glasses and drink, and I start cutting my chicken. She touches my arm.
What are you doing?
Eating.
I guess what Chuck said is true, that you don't like to get your hands dirty.
My brother is going to pay for that. No, that's not true.
Oh, well, it tastes a whole lot better when you pick it up and eat it.
That doesn't even make sense.
Sure it does. Go on and eat that piece you're cutting off.
I eat it, and it's the best damn fried chicken I've ever had. The coating is crisp, tangy, and spicy, and the meat is juicy. It's perfect. She picks up a chicken leg from her plate and waves it at me.
Now try it like this.
She takes a big bite.
Mmm. My mama's recipe is the best,
she says with a cheek full of chicken.
Go on, give it a try.
I pick up the chicken leg and take a bite. She's on to something. The tanginess is sharper, the spices more potent, and the meat tastes infused with them. Now I'm shaking my chicken leg at her. How is this possible?
I told you! The juices and spices all get up in your gums and teeth and tongue, and it magnifies the flavors. There's nothing better.
She takes another bite. If you handle your meeting with Arjun as well as you cook, you'll sign him in no time.
I hope so. He's such a nice guy. He's a computer scientist, and his girlfriend, Mara, is a nurse. They've been dating for 4 years, and he's so in love with her, I could hear it in his voice.
That's a good thing, since he's proposing.
They sound like a great couple. She works long shifts sometimes, and you know what he does? He brings her dinner and eats with her, even if she can only sit down for 15 minutes, so she doesn't have to eat alone. How romantic is that?
Maybe you should add that to your Mr. Right checklist.
That's a great idea.
As we eat, she tells me more about her phone conversation with Arjun. She's animated and enthusiastic and at times also a little dreamy-eyed.
I checked out his social pages, and there are a million pictures of him and Mara going back several years. I also had my website guy add a place on the contact form for the details you suggested and for their social links so I can check them out ahead of time.
Now you're thinking like a businesswoman. She beams.
I have a great mentor.
She leans against my side.
Don't get upset, but I did a little research on you two.
Why would I get upset? Safety first.
Good.
She eats some mashed potatoes.
Your bio on the Beckwith site makes you sound very smart, which I'm sure you are, but you should have smiled in the picture. You have a great smile, and it makes you look less grumpy Gus and more like friendly Fletch. But you have no social pages. What's up with that?
I don't think anyone would describe me as friendly Fletch. I'm a private guy. I don't need people like Cecilia stalking me online, too.
That makes sense. When I couldn't find your socials, I looked for Chuck's and Jimmy's.
Great.
Chuck's are private, so I couldn't see them. But Jimmy's accounts are public and loaded with great pictures of him and a gorgeous woman named Beth Peterson. She was tagged in the pictures. I assume she's his fiancée since they're kissing in most of the pictures.
She is.
They look happy together. Do you like her?
Yeah. We've known her all our lives. She's great.
That's good. It would stink if you didn't like her. I went to school with a girl back home whose brother married an awful woman, and now she barely sees him. Anyway, Jimmy had tons of pictures of you and your family. Why didn't you tell me you liked to ski and fish?
Why would I?
Because we're friends, and friends share things. I'm going to a wedding with you, and I feel like I don't even know you.
I find myself leaning into her. We did just meet.
Yeah, I guess.
She sighs, her disappointment palpable. What would you like to know? Her eyes light up.
Everything. I saw pictures on your bookshelves, so I know you fished when you were younger, but Jimmy's looked more recent.
Were you snooping, Sunshine?
Not intentionally. It just kind of happened. And I didn't look at anything but a few pictures. I promise. Do you still fish?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm going fishing Saturday. We had a boat growing up, and some of my best memories are fishing with my family.
Where are you from? What are your parents like?
I grew up in Sunnyvale, which is about half an hour from here. My parents still live in the house I grew up in, and Jimmy lives a few blocks from them. My parents are steady, you know? My dad is a financial consultant, and my mom works part-time as an assistant to a real estate agent. Growing up, they were always there for us, and they still are.
How often do you see them?
I shrug. A couple times a month if our schedules align.
If my parents were still alive, I'd visit them all the time.
She glances behind us, and I follow her gaze to a framed photograph on a hutch of a man with black hair, bushy brows, dark happy eyes, and weathered skin, and a blonde woman with a mile-wide smile and a deep dimple in her left cheek. I put my hand on Destiny's, giving it a reassuring squeeze. I'm sorry. Are they your parents?
Yeah,
she says softly. They're a nice-looking couple. Do you mind if I ask you how you lost your mother? She shakes her head, and her eyes tear up, gutting me. How did that happen so fast? I didn't mean to upset you.
You didn't. These are happy tears.
She blinked them away.
I warned you it happens when I think of them sometimes, didn't I?
I can't remember if she warned me or not, but if she did, it wouldn't have prepared me anyway. I'm not sure anything could. I don't like seeing tears in her eyes.
Would you rather not talk about it?
No, I like talking about them. And you should know the hard stuff since I'm meeting your family. As I told you, my mom was fearless. She could do and fix anything. My dad told me that when he moved to the States and got a job as a mechanic, she'd go down to his shop at night and on the weekends and beg him to show her what he was doing. She loved tinkering and gardening, and she built these little wooden wheelbarrows that she'd plant flowers in. I was at school the day she died. She was in the backyard, and as best my dad could tell, she was searching through an old woodpile or cleaning it up, and she jostled a bee's nest. She was stung 37 times, and she went into anaphylactic shock. He found her when he came home to have lunch with her, which he did all the time. They didn't even know she was allergic.
A tear slips down her cheek.
My father had me tested right away, and I'm not allergic. I'd give anything if she hadn't been.
My heart cracks open, and even though she told me so much about herself the other day, I feel like I'm seeing her for the first time. Not her personality or her enthusiasm, but the incredibly strong, positive woman who has been a falling star two times too many and has somehow managed to pick herself back up to not only tread on, but to flourish and live out her dreams. I want to know more. I want to know everything about her, to understand how she overcame so much. I want to know all her secrets and fears. I wipe her tears with the pads of my thumbs and take her hand between both of mine. Your father must have been beside himself with grief. Don't take this wrong, but you were so young. I'm glad he found her before you did. A pained smile curves her lips.
My dad said the same thing. But I wish I had gotten there first to save him from having that be his last memory of her.
I wipe more of her tears. Has anyone ever told you that you have a boundless heart? She shakes her head. I feel something at my feet and glance beneath the table, surprised to see Molly lying with her paw over Clementine. I was so caught up in Destiny, I didn't even notice they'd come downstairs. How did Destiny know they'd be good friends? I lift my gaze to her sweet hazel eyes and realize there must be a hint of magic in that boundless heart of hers. I hold her hand a little tighter. I think you do, sunshine, and that's a beautiful thing.
Chapter 10. Destiny. I don't get why you're so nervous, Ruby says over video call the following Thursday evening as I pull on another dress option for my meeting with Arjun. You're great with people, and you've been working with Fletch every day. You said you did great when you practiced last night. I bet you could sell this guy on your business in your sleep. Other than Saturday night, when Fletch hung out with his brothers after playing basketball, he and I have spent every evening together for the past week and a half. He's taught me a lot, and it's been wonderful getting to know him and exchanging fun texts throughout the day. I'm enjoying walking Molly and leaving them both little goodies, like the socks I left for Fletch with basketballs on them. He wore them over the next night and said he wasn't as boring as I thought he was. Spoiler alert, I don't think he's boring at all. Then he handed me a pair of plain white socks in case I wanted to see how the other half lives. I love our friendship, and he's incredibly supportive. He texted yesterday afternoon asking if I wanted to get together and role play to prepare for the meeting, and I jumped on the offer. I did do well, but I was with Fletch, and he makes me feel like I can do anything. I take a quick look in the mirror at my short-sleeved, flowy pink and white floral dress, slip my feet into nude block-heel sandals, and turn toward the iPad so Ruby can see me. What do you think? I think you look as pretty as you did in the last three outfits. Why are you so nervous? Did you call your dad? That always calms you down. You know what? I didn't call him. I was going to first thing this morning, but then Fletch texted and said I was going to nail the meeting tonight. We got to texting back and forth, and I guess I forgot. Is there something more between you and Fletch that you're not telling me? No. Why? Because even I can't do for you what calling your dad does for you. That gives me pause. He just sidetracked me, that's all. You know how my mind works. Uh-huh. Are you sure you're not into him for more than business tutoring? Please, he only ticks off two things on my checklist. Ruby's brows lift. So you've checked? No. Then how do you know he only checks off two things? Because I have my list memorized. It's always in my head, and he was my inspiration to add one of them, which was a guy who isn't afraid to tell me I'm wrong and help me be the best I can be. Okay, I approve. What's the second thing he checks off? I look away, mumbling, he's a good kisser. What? He's a good kisser, okay? I don't tell her that while good kisser was already on my list, I changed it to gives me unforgettable kisses. You kissed him? No, he kissed me. I just kissed him back. I told you about it when all that stuff went down at the park with that stalker girl. You definitely did not tell me that. I'd remember if you said you kissed Fletch. Have you kissed him since? No, but I think about it all the time. Is that why you're so nervous? Do you want there to be more between you two? No, I'm nervous because he's helping me so much. I don't want to disappoint him. Oh, that's big. It is big, and I didn't mean to blurt it out. A knock sounds at the front door. He's here. I've got to go. Wish me luck. I wish you all the luck in the world, but tomorrow you and I are going to talk about that kiss, and goodbye, Rubes. I end the call, hurry downstairs, and answer the door. Fletch looks as handsome as ever in a blue button-down that makes his eyes appear even bluer and dark slacks. A dusting of chest hair peeks out from his open collar, his sleeves are rolled up to his elbows, and his smile sets my heart aflutter. Hi.
Hey, sunshine.
His gaze takes a slow stroll down my body, and my temperature rises.
You look beautiful. Ready for your big night?
I take a deep breath. I think so. I'm nervous. Come in, I just need to get my things.
Nervous, huh?
He follows me in. Yeah. I close the door, and when I turn around, he's right there, serious eyes studying me. He places his hands on my shoulders and gazes deeply into my eyes.
Your destiny, Amour. You were born to do this, and there's nothing you can't do if you put your heart into it. You're going to win this man over and walk out of that cafe with a new client. I believe in you, and I know your parents are cheering you on tonight. So no more doubts, sunshine. Okay?
His support tugs at my heartstrings almost as much as the mention of my parents does. I nod, my emotions too raw to speak.
I brought you something to mark your big day.
He reaches into his pocket and pulls out a slim black box. My pulse quickens. You didn't have to get me anything.
It's not a big deal, but I think you'll like it.
I already do, because it's from you. I open the box, and nestled among black silk is a gold pen with Get the Yes engraved in pink. Oh, Fletch, falls from my lips with disbelief. This isn't the kind of gift he could walk in off the street and buy at any gift shop. This took forethought and planning, and the fact that he did that for me makes it feel like much more than just a pretty pen.
They don't normally engrave with pink lettering, but I wanted it to be as unique as you are. So I might have bribed the guy with the promise of a perfect proposal event at some point in his future.
I laugh. I couldn't love it more. Thank you. I throw my arms around him and my heart races as his arms circle me, holding me tight, the way he's been doing lately when I go in for a hug.
I'm glad you like it.
His voice is low and husky, sending a shiver of heat through me. I want to stay right there in his arms, but I know he's just being nice, and I'm being weird, so I step back, admiring the gift and the thoughtful man who gave it to me.
We'd better get a move on,
he reminds me. I grab my bag and tuck my beautiful new personalized pen into the interior pocket. A As I head out the door with this incredible, supportive man by my side, I swear I feel my parents smiling down on me brighter than ever.
Fletch. Watching Destiny with Arjun, a kind, dark-haired man with glasses and a careful demeanor, further convinces me that proposal planning is exactly what she was meant to do. I don't know why she was so nervous. Over the course of the last hour, she's connected with him in a way that makes them seem like old friends, just like she's done with me. She's funny, confident, professional, and passionate, and her love of love radiates in everything she says and does. She answers each of his questions thoroughly and thoughtfully, and listens intently as he tells stories about how he and Maura met, what his favorite things about her are, his favorite moments in their relationship, their favorite hiking spots and pastimes, and a dozen others. It's easy to see that Destiny is genuinely invested in their story, and she's included me in the entire conversation, asking for my opinion, touching my arm or leg as she comments on this or that, and making correlations to our friendship. This whirlwind woman is a rare force of nature, and it's that warmth and enthusiasm that has me equally as invested. I want this man to give Maura the proposal of her dreams, and I want Destiny to be the one to help him get his yes. I believe Arjun wants her to be that person too.
What's the one dream you and Maura share that is out of reach right now? She asks.
That's easy, Arjun says. Going to Paris. We both feel like it's calling us. We've even learned to speak French, but between my deadlines and the hospital being short-staffed, we haven't been able to coordinate enough time off to go.
Even the thought of Paris is romantic, Destiny says dreamily.
She gasps.
I have a great idea. How would you feel about bringing Paris to Maura for the proposal? I see a magical setting, a Parisian cafe, a replica of the Eiffel Tower. It could be the proposal of a lifetime.
She's brilliant. Hope glimmers in Arjun's eyes.
How would we do that?
If you're open to the idea and decide to book with my company, just leave it to me. I'll put together an outline of the event and a budget for your approval, of course, and if you don't like something, we can tweak it or move on to a different idea. I'm never short on ideas.
I want everything to be perfect for Maura, and she'll never expect a Parisian-themed proposal, Arjun says. I've been so stressed about how I could possibly make the proposal as special as she deserves, but I feel better now. I know I'll be in good hands with you. Let's do it.
That's wonderful,
she exclaims, and turns that megawatt smile at me. I stifle the urge to tell her how great she is and how proud of her I am, turning instead to Arjun. You're making the right choice. Destiny has a magic touch.
I can see that, he says.
Destiny touches my arm, her joyous eyes flicking briefly and appreciatively to mine before she turns her full attention to her new client. As they go over the contract and sign it, I notice Destiny taking an extra moment to look at her new pen. She's done it a few times while taking notes, and each time brings the sweetest, slightly bashful smile I've ever seen. I bury the warmth it stirs as she explains to Arjun that she'll send an invoice for the deposit along with a copy of the contract by email.
I'm excited to get started.
She tucks her pen into a pocket in her bag and puts the contract and her notebooks away.
This proposal is going to be everything you and Maura dream of and more. I work part-time at Perfect Paws and I'm booked tomorrow morning, so I'll start scouting locations Saturday.
Her hand lands on my leg and she beams at me.
I know you have plans, so I won't ask you to come, but I promise to send pictures.
I'll change my plans to Sunday and scout locations with you.
You will?
Absolutely. I can't have you picking the wrong location, I tease, earning a chuckle from Arjun.
You're the best.
She leans over and hugs me. You two make a great team, Arjun says. How long have you been together?
Oh, we're not. We're just...
She looks at me and laughs softly.
We're friends. And business associates?
I put my hand over hers, squeezing it reassuringly. Thank you, Arjun. We do make a good team. We haven't known each other that long, but destiny has a way of making you feel like you're supposed to be in each other's lives. How true is that? Now I even sound like her. Destiny's smile chases her unsurety away. She definitely does. I'm sorry, but I have to run. I look forward to hearing from you.
Arjun pushes to his feet, and Destiny and I rise to ours. She takes Arjun's hand.
Thank you for trusting me with your special moment. I'll send the documents over tomorrow, and we'll get started right away.
I'll be on the lookout for them. He extends his hand to me. It was nice to meet you, Fletch.
You as well. Have a great night.
After he leaves the cafe, Destiny lets out a cheer and throws her arms around me.
We did it!
I embrace her. You did it. Congratulations, Sunshine. Get the Yes is officially in business.
Are we pretending the picnic fiasco didn't happen?
I pick up her bag and hand it to her. You weren't even an LLC back then. It doesn't count. She couldn't look happier, and I don't think I could either. I drape an arm over her shoulder as we head for the door. What do you say we celebrate?
You lead. I'll follow.
Chapter 11. Destiny. I want to start by looking at the places where they like to hike. The overlook he mentioned sounded beautiful. I'm on cloud 9, chattering away about my ideas for a Parisian-themed proposal as we walk to a pub around the corner from the cafe. I'm glad I get to share this epic moment with Fletch. When I think about how close we've gotten, the thoughtful gift he gave me, and what he said when he arrived at my place about my being born to do proposal planning and my parents smiling down on me, I really do feel like we were fated to meet.
You've got some great ideas, Sunshine. I look forward to watching you put it together.
He holds the door to the pub open for me and puts a hand on my back as we walk inside. It's crowded and noisy, with enormous paintings of wild animals wearing colorful glasses on the dark wood walls. People are gathered around a couple singing karaoke on a small stage, and I'm immediately enamored with the funky pub. I take Fletch's arm, leaning closer so he can hear me over the music. I love karaoke!
Of course you do.
He shakes his head, but he's grinning. We spot two high-back stools at the bar and head that way. As we weave through the crowd, Fletch puts his arm protectively around me, pulling me close. I try not to dwell on how nice it is to be taken care of like that, and focus instead on the bright green floor, pink tabletops, and eclectic mix of wooden and leather chairs around us. This place is fantastic, I say, dropping my bag to the floor by the bar. I climb onto a bar stool, checking out the crowd. Fletch moves my bag from the floor to the back of my chair, just as he did in the cafe, because you never know what kind of filth you're setting it in. I've never worried about things like that, but I like that he does. I lean in so he can hear me, resting my hand on his leg. What's the name of this place?
The Lucky Lizard.
That sounds dirty, he chuckles.
I'm sure it's meant to.
I didn't take you as the noisy bar type.
I come here with my brothers to grab a beer every once in a while, but it's not usually this crowded or loud.
I guess you don't come on Thursday nights. I point to a chalkboard hanging behind the bar announcing Thursday night karaoke. The way he's watching the people around us, I wonder if he's uncomfortable. Do you want to go someplace quieter? He arches a brow.
And feed into your grumpy Gus image of me? I don't think so. We're here to celebrate your success. And you love karaoke.
Does that mean you'll sing with me? I ask hopefully.
Not in this lifetime, but I look forward to hearing you sing, he says as the bartender, a rugged-looking black man, comes to take our order.
The bartender gives me an appreciative glance and lifts his chin to Fletch.
How are you two doing tonight?
His baritone voice cuts through the noise. Great! We're celebrating! I just got my first client for my proposal planning business. I catch Fletch's amused expression.
Congratulations, the bartender says. The first round is on the house. What'll it be?
Aren't you the sweetest? What do you recommend? Is there a house drink?
Yeah, the Lusty Lizard. It's great if you like sweet drinks, and it's strong.
Now that's a great name for a drink. I'll take it. I love sweet drinks, and it is a celebration. I lean into Fletch again. Have one with me?
Sorry, Sunshine, but I think I'll stick to beer.
He orders and asks, how can we get her name on the karaoke list? I'm surprised and pleased that he thought to ask. The bartender points across the bar.
Go see Mac, the bearded guy at that table by the stage. He'll put her on the list. Great, man, thanks. Can you run a tab for us?
I slide off my stool. I'll go see Mac. Fletch grabs my hand.
Want me to go?
No, I'm good, thanks. I'm touched by his offer, but I want to look over the song list. It takes a few minutes to get signed up, and I talk to a guy who's also wanting to sign up, and we share a laugh when Mac asks if we want to sing as a duo. As I make my way back through the crowd, I notice two women standing near the bar checking out Fletch, but Fletch is watching me. Our eyes connect, and I swear that hummingbird takes flight in my chest again. I don't know what that's all about. It's not like he's my type. He doesn't even believe in love, and putting love above all else is definitely high on my checklist. So is singing karaoke with a guy who loves it as much as I do, and that's definitely not Fletch. But I am happy when I'm with him, and I love working side by side with him, sharing a common goal and teasing each other. It feels good when we're together. But too often during the last week or so, it's felt too good, and I've found myself wishing he'd kiss me again. I've been trying not to make too much of the way his texts make my pulse dance, and when he calls me Sunshine, oof. I really like that. I've also been trying not to snoop when I pick up Molly for our walks, but I did look at more of the pictures on his bookshelf, and my heart warmed at each one. I like seeing the carefree pictures of him with his family, and wish I knew how to make him smile that way too. I'm sure I feel so close to him because we're spending so much time together. It probably doesn't help that I miss my family and haven't gone on a date and... let's not go there. I need to get myself under control. Fletch is too good to me to mess up our friendship because of my silly, confused emotions. When I reach the bar, he steps off his stool and pulls out mine.
Everything go okay?
Yep, all signed up. As we climb onto our seats, I see a bright green drink waiting for me. The joined stems of two cherries are perched on the rim of the glass, one cherry hanging on either side. I've never been more thankful for alcohol in my life. I reach for my drink. I hope this is as good as it looks. He puts his hand on mine, stopping me from putting the straw in my mouth, and picks up his glass.
Here's to you, Sunshine, and your bright new future with Get the Yes.
I couldn't have done it without you.
You could have. You just might have been sued a few times first.
I laugh as we clink glasses, then take a sip of my drink. You have to taste this. It's zingy and fruity, like liqueur-infused melon. I move the straw to his side and hold out my glass. He waves me off.
It's okay. I'm good.
Come on, Rai-Rai, live a little. I hold it up again. He takes a sip and draws back, brows slanting.
Damn, that is sweet. And he wasn't kidding about it being strong. What's in it? Vodka? Tequila? Rum?
He licks his lips, and I go right back to wanting to kiss him, remembering the hard press of his lips, the hungry swipe of his tongue. I don't stop there. Suddenly, I'm seeing him as he's been in my dreams all week, gloriously naked, and...
I think there's gin in there, too, he says,
jerking me from my fantasy as he sets the glass down in front of me. Gin. Uh-huh. I take a big gulp of the green goodness, trying to chase my lustful thoughts away. I should not be thinking about him naked.
Better be careful, Sunshine, or I'll be carrying you to bed.
I choke on his words, spewing my drink onto the front of his shirt and slacks, and cough as what's left in my mouth goes down the wrong tube.
Are you okay?
Coughing and nodding, I manage, sorry. I clear my throat, grab a napkin, and start wiping his shirt and slacks. It went down the wrong tube. I'm sorry about your clothes.
It's okay.
He grabs my wrist, stilling my hand. I'm trying to help. I look up and his tight expression has me glancing down at my hand, which is dangerously close to the bulge behind his zipper. Sorry? I pull my hand back. I wasn't trying to. I toss the napkin onto the bar and cover my face with my hands. You can take me out back and shoot me now. He pulls my hands down, laughing softly.
Would you stop? That's the most action I've gotten in 6 months.
My jaw drops. No way, 6 months? He takes a drink without responding. You can't just drop something like that and clam up. Don't you date? His eyes narrow in that way that tells me he's not going to answer. Please tell me you're not the kind of guy who sleeps with women once and ghosts them.
I have more class than that.
Aha! Then you do date?
Casually. Nothing with any permanence.
Has it really been 6 months?
Maybe not that long, but probably close.
You should do a video on social media about that. It proves men's you-know-whats don't really fall off if you don't use them. You'd probably go viral and save thousands of teenage girls from feeling anything but proud of themselves when boys use that line on them and they turn them down. Women all over the world would be thanking you and lining up to go out with you. Not that you need more women after you. His brows lift with amusement.
That mind of yours is something, sunshine.
I don't know about that, but I know there are several women in here who look like they would be happy to rectify your dry spell. Including me, which is a problem.
No thanks.
Come on, Fletch. You're a great guy, and good-looking for a blonde.
Ouch.
He bumps me with his shoulder. We both laugh, and I realize it's things like that little shoulder bump that make me like him even more. But I know what I have to do to stop thinking about him that way. Fletch needs a girlfriend, because I'd never have dirty thoughts about another woman's man. I drink more liquid courage, preparing for my mission, even if the thought of setting him up with a woman makes me feel a little queasy. I'm serious, Fletch. You need more than casual dating. You need to connect, to find that spark that makes your heart race with the person who invades your every thought.
Sounds painful.
It does not. I swat his arm. Trust me, you need some love in your heart, and I'm just the girl to help you find it.
Let it go, sunshine.
Nope. I need you to be taken so I don't ruin our friendship. I need to narrow down your type, and right now all I know for sure is that it's not a chatty, impulsive girl from the South. What was your ex like? He gives me the side eye and takes another drink. I turn in my seat, scoping out the women around us. Fletch turns around, too.
What are you doing?
I nod in the direction of the brunette. She's cute, and she was watching you when I was signing up for karaoke.
I'm not looking for a lady friend.
You're bullheaded for such a laid-back guy. I spend the next 10 minutes trying to pry his type out of him, but he's locked up tighter than a girdle. We finish our drinks and order another round with a basket of fries for him and mozzarella sticks for me. I'm halfway through my second drink and feeling good all over when I decide to try to pry information out of him from another angle. How long have you been divorced? He eats a fry without answering. More than 5 years? I push.
Twice that.
Really? I take a bite of a mozzarella stick. Have you had any long-term relationships since then? He arches a brow.
Have you?
Since I was 17? Let's see. I dated one guy in high school for about 6 months. Jackson Robbie. I really liked him. He was great with his hands. A real rough-and-tumble kind of guy. But when he went away to college, he wanted the full college experience, which didn't include being tied down to a girl back home.
That must have sucked.
It was hard, but it was for the best. I found out 2 months later that before he left for school, he was seeing another girl who went to a different school, and she ended up pregnant.
So he was a cheating asshole.
I know how to pick 'em. I take another drink. I always seem to be attracted to guys who aren't great for me. I've dated a few guys since then, but none that feel like Mr. Right.
What about you? It sounds like you got married young.
Married at 24, divorced at 26.
Wow, it only lasted 2 years? What happened? He stares into his drink for a minute, and I can tell he's contemplating his answer. He looks at me, his serious, slightly pained eyes tugging at me.
I don't think it was any one thing.
He says it so low, I have to lean closer to hear him. What do you mean? He sets down his glass, giving me his full attention, and studies me for a beat.
Are you sure you want to hear this?
It feels like there's more to his question, but I can't put my finger on what that more is. You're helping me every day, and I want to do the same for you. I'd like to know why you've closed yourself off to the best, most magical feeling in the world, but if you'd rather not tell me, it's okay.
Fletch. Rather not tell her. She's the only person I've wanted to open up to since my divorce. Nothing about our situation makes sense. I haven't spent this much time with a woman since I was married, much less wanted to. I like quiet, and her mouth moves faster than the Energizer Bunny. Still, there's something about the sweet, sensitive, over-the-top beauty that reels me in and makes me want to do a hell of a lot more than talk. But she thinks I'm some sort of grumpy Ken doll who's good-looking for a blonde, for fuck's sake, and she's trying to set me up with random women, so I know I'm alone in this. She's sucking down that cavity-sweet drink through a straw, wiggling her shoulders to the beat of the music as some guy sings off-pitch. She's masking her disappointment in my reluctance to spill my past well, which isn't like her. But there's no escaping it. It's like a wall between us, and that breaks my restraint. I lean closer so she can hear me and say, "I've never felt that magical feeling you talk about." She sets down her drink, brows knitted.
"You mean love?"
"Yeah. I thought I loved Elena, but it never felt the way you describe it."
"Not even at first?"
"We were 20 when we first started seeing each other. At that age, I don't think I'd know something magical if it bit me in the ass."
"Yes, you would."
She picks up a mozzarella stick and takes a bite, pointing the remainder at me.
"It's unavoidable, like that itch you get in the middle of your back and can't scratch, but in the very best way."
She pops the rest of the cheese into her mouth and leans closer, adorably tipsy.
"I guess there were no fireworks when you know.
"You mean orgasms?"
"No, fireworks with lights and sounds and overwhelming sensations."
I scoff.
"You act like you don't believe it can happen."
She waggles her finger at me.
"I'll have you know that when you get down and dirty with your forever love, it's unlike anything you've ever felt before. There are definitely fireworks."
"I thought you've never been in love."
"I haven't."
"Then you know this because..."
"Ruby told me,"
she says with a lift of her chin. God, she's cute. "Is that on your checklist too?"
"Of course. I don't want to miss out on good loving. Honestly, Ruby and I both thought sex was way overhyped. I mean, it doesn't even last that long, and from what I've experienced, guys can't help but get the good stuff, while I'm always left feeling like..." "Really? That's it, then?"
I grit my teeth, wishing she hadn't put the image of her with other guys in my head. "Sounds like you've been doing it with the wrong guys."
"You've got that right. But let's get back to you. There were no fireworks and you still married her?"
"In all fairness, I didn't know there could be fireworks, or I might have held out."
"Now you know."
She pats my cheek.
"But I don't know if you'd have held out. I think you're like a golden retriever. You know, loyal, golden."
She runs her fingers through the side of my hair. "Did you just compare me to a dog?"
"Yep, but don't fret,"
she says, petting my scruff.
"Lots of women love golden retrievers. I like pups like Molly."
"Disobedient?"
"Rascally.
But I do like the feel of your scruff." She pulls me closer and rubs her cheek along mine, humming,
"That's nice."
What did I do to deserve this torture? She sits back, blinking at me expectantly.
So, were you happy?
My brain is busy conjuring the sexy hums and moans she'd make if she felt my scruff on her inner thighs. I clear my throat and take a drink, silently berating myself. Happy enough? We were just kids, going to school and having fun in the Big Apple. We'd go out after studying and stay up half the night having sex. What more could we want? She whispers,
fireworks.
Then louder, did you live together before you got married? Yes, while I worked and went to graduate school and she started her career. After we got married, I had my nose to the grindstone with school, work, research, and trying to get published. I thought things were good.
But she wasn't happy?
I guess not. She was a buyer for a high-end retail chain of department stores, and she traveled a lot for work. She met someone while she was traveling and had an affair.
Oh, Fletch!
She puts her hand on my leg for the millionth time.
That's so hard.
If your hand moves any higher, I will be too. I down my drink, hoping to drown out the desires she's stirring. It stung, but looking back, it's clear we wanted different things all along. She steals a fry off my plate and takes a bite.
Like what?
Everything. I didn't love living in the city, but she did, so we stayed. And on holidays, she wanted to go on vacations while I wanted to see my family. It was easier to do what she wanted than to fight, so...
You gave up holidays with your family?
She looks appalled.
What did they think about that?
They weren't thrilled that I married her in the first place, so that just added to their concerns.
Whoa, slow down, Casanova. Did they tell you that?
My father tried, and Chuck came right out and said he thought I was making a mistake, but I thought I loved her, so they backed off. I should have listened. She sips her drink, brows knitted.
You said you'd never choose a woman over family, but you did?
Right, and I learned my lesson. I think I was just comfortable and happy enough that I didn't need to go looking for more.
Golden Retriever,
she says in a sing-song voice, stirring her drink with her straw. Sure, okay, maybe. But sometimes you don't realize how wrong something is until you're in too deep.
Or how right it is. It happens both ways.
She picks the cherries off the side of her glass and lowers one into her mouth.
Mmm.
That sound is just as torturous as it was the first time around. She holds the other cherry out for me.
Want my cherry?
A slow grin crawls across my face.
Ryan Fletcher, you have a dirty mind.
Hey, you offered, but since we're talking about fruit, I'd much rather watch you eat it. She flashes a sassy smile, holding my gaze as she places the cherry on her tongue and then eats it with another alluring moan. Her hand lands on my thigh again and she says,
Want to know a secret?
Hell yeah, I want to know a secret, and even though I know I shouldn't, I hope that secret is that she'd rather I eat her. What do you think? She crooks her finger for me to come closer. I lean in, and her cheek brushes mine as she says,
Jackson Robbie got my cherry.
My protective urges claw at me. I put my hand over hers on my thigh, keeping her close, my eyes on hers. Lucky bastard didn't deserve it. She inhales raggedly and grips my thigh tighter, just as her name rings through the bar, announcing her turn at karaoke. For a second, neither of us moves, but I'm not going to be the dick that steals her chance at doing something she loves on her big night. I force myself to let go of her hand. That's you, Sunshine.
Yeah, me. Okay.
She blinks several times without moving, and then, as if infused with energy, she jumps off her stool and says, Wish me luck! And rushes toward the stage. Several guys turn to check her out in that sexy pink and white dress. I fight the urge to follow her to stake my claim and shut them down. But she's a forever girl with a list a mile long of things she wants in a man, and I'm not that guy. So I shove that urge down deep and order another drink as she gets situated on stage. Several guys whistle and clap, earning a smile that lights up the room as I Love It by Icona Pop comes on, blaring through the bar. The crowd cheers as Destiny struts across the stage like she owns it, scream-singing horribly off-key about crashing her car, watching it burn, and loving it. Every time she belts out that she doesn't care, she faces the crowd and smacks her chest with her fist like the lyrics are torn from her heart. She has the audience eating out of the palm of her hand, clapping to the beat. She motions for everyone to sing with her, and they join in. As she sings about being on different roads, one grounded, one high in the sky, her beautiful eyes find mine, and her grin grows impossibly wider. I thought she was a force of nature before, but damn! She doesn't seem to notice or care that her voice could shatter glass, and that energy and confidence are two of the sexiest things I've ever seen. Second only to the hint of sweet vulnerability in those shimmering eyes that I'm sure nobody else can see as she struts across the stage. I'm so drawn to everything about her. By the time she sings the last words, she couldn't sound more beautiful to me. The crowd goes wild, whistling and applauding, and Destiny looks bashfully from the audience to the floor and back again. Fidgeting with the mic, she puts one foot behind the other and does a half curtsy. She hands the mic to Mac and hurries off the stage. I push to my feet as she rushes over, and that bashfulness gives way to a beaming grin. I take her hand, pulling her closer. You must have been a pop star in a previous